Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, with fantasy playoff spots potentially on the line, I'll go through our Week 14 rankings and give various thoughts at each position. So starting at quarterback, the past couple of games for Jalen Hurts haven't been great from a fantasy perspective, but the Eagles should get Devonta Smith back. So we have Hurts as our top quarterback option for Week 14, with Josh Allen right behind him as the QB2. You could really have them 1-2 in any order. But behind them, I think quarterback's actually weaker than it's been all season. I guess not too surprising because six teams are on a bye. But Hurts and Allen are probably the only two that don't really have a question mark. The others in the top five would be Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and those two will face each other on Sunday night, and Joe Burrow, who will face the Cowboys on Monday night. For Herbert, he could be without Ladd McConkey. He's dealing with an injury, so that'd be a big loss. And the first meeting was only, I think, 17-10. I would expect more scoring in the rematch, but Los Angeles has played well defensively, had four picks last week against Kirk Cousins, and Kansas City will want to rebound from the disappointment on Black Friday. And for Mahomes, we haven't seen the monster upside from him this year. Maybe when Hollywood Brown is back, potentially in week 16 or 17, which would be perfect for those in the fantasy championship, would be a boost there. But again, definite question marks at quarterback behind the top two. So the hope would be the AFC West battle will turn into a shootout. And then Burrow, you could make a case for him being third, but Dallas has playoffs on their mind. They should have all three of Micah Parsons, Trevon Diggs, and Deron Bland healthy on Monday night. So not an easy matchup. So I think there's a clear separation between Hurts and Allen, and then the tier of Herbert, Mahomes, and Burrow. And then finishing off the top half of the QB1 ranks, we have Jared Goff as the QB6. I could see Detroit trying to run the ball this week more than they did on Thanksgiving, and Goff benefited from a couple of short scores, but the offense can beat you in so many ways, so I'd feel good about him as a solid QB1. And then for the streaming types at quarterback, I think Russell Wilson is the best one. We have him as a top 10 play. He showed well against the Browns in the first matchup in the snow, and was obviously great last week in the win over the Bengals with 414 yards and three touchdowns through the air. So Wilson should be a QB1 at home. And I won't go too deep into detail, but I would rather play the tier of Aaron Rodgers, Caleb Williams, or Kirk Cousins over guys that might be viewed more favorably in Will Levis and Matthew Stafford. For Levis, I simply have a difficult time trusting him, and the Jaguars played better defensively coming out of the bye. And Stafford might need to put up points versus Buffalo, but they remain stout against the pass, and I think Sunday sets up more for a Kyron Williams game. So I'd view those two as more low-end QB2 options. And for Rodgers, I guess he's another guy that could be difficult to trust, and there's even talk of him being benched, but that was shut down by Jeff Ulbrich. But Miami has injuries to the secondary, and the Jets can at least move the ball, so I like him as a top 15 option. And then Caleb Williams, you have the rushing upside from him, and the offense has been better outside the first half last week on Thanksgiving since Thomas Brown took over as offensive coordinator. And Cousins had the four interceptions last week, but he'll want to show well versus his former team in the Vikings, and Minnesota potentially being without Stephon Gilmore at cornerback would boost this matchup. So I would like those three over Levis and Stafford this week. At running back, something that caused some concern this week was Jahmyr Gibbs posting a video that had some code words from the Lions offense, but Dan Campbell has completely downplayed the situation, and as stated, I think we'll see more running from Detroit this week in a huge matchup versus the Packers. Gibbs had 9 carries last week, which he turned into 87 yards, so look for more touches for him and David Montgomery. We have Gibbs as a high-end RB1, and Montgomery is a low-end RB1, with both hopefully returning to the end zone after each was held out last week. And for someone crashing the RB1 ranks, based on his undeniable play over the past two games, and really all season, is Bucky Irving. He's dealing with a hip injury, but assuming he's good enough to go, he's turned into a must-start with 150-plus yards in each of the past two games, and the Raiders could have a bit of a letdown following the training loss to the Chiefs on Black Friday. So Irving, a definite top 10 play at running back, and Rashad White would obviously get a boost if Irving can't go, but I think he'll be fine. Dropping down to the high-end RB2 ranks, a couple of rookies to hit on. First, Tyrann Tracy Jr. He didn't draw the start on Thanksgiving due to the fumbling issues, but he capped off the opening drive with a 1-yard touchdown, so that bodes well for him moving forward. It was disappointing he only had 9 carries, but the Saints will be a great matchup allowing the fifth most fantasy points to the position. And I would think Brian Daboll wants to showcase Dracy down the stretch, so he is a high-end RB2. And then a few spots behind him, Isaac Arendo will be the starter in San Francisco the rest of the way, with Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason both likely done for the season. Chicago might not be the best matchup. They're actually an average run defense in terms of the numbers, but I could see them being fired up in the first game since the firing of Matt Eberflus. But Kyle Shanahan's offense and the Shanahan offense in general over the years has been fantasy gold. So Garendo is a definite RB2, and he's averaging 5.9 yards per carry so far in his rookie campaign. And Patrick Taylor Jr., the backup now for the Niners, is also worth considering. He's been more of a special teamer in his career, but I like what I've seen from him as a runner when given the opportunities with the Packers in the past. So he's worth a speculative add if you're unable to get Garendo. And then the Pittsburgh backfield, Najee Harris had another strong game last week, and he remains an RB2, especially with six teams on a bye. But we would prefer Jaylen Warren based on the matchup versus the Browns. Warren was the better play in the first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and as we saw on Monday night with Jaleel McLaughlin leading the Denver backfield against the Browns, the matchup is better for a slashing runner like Warren rather than Najee, who could have a more difficult time getting into open space versus an aggressive defense. So Harris can still be played. We have him as the RB22, but Warren we have a few spots higher as the RB19, and he has a high floor with 8.4 fantasy points in all four games since the bye. For wide receiver, I'm high on the NFC East guys that maybe haven't lived up to expectations recently. First, we have CeeDee Lamb as the wide receiver 4. I know he's banged up and was quiet on Thanksgiving, but I don't see the Bengals being able to cover him, so the hope is he'll come through for fantasy owners that need a big game on Monday night. And one spot behind him is Malik Nabers, taking on the Saints. New Orleans actually did a good job against Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp last week. I thought both would go off, but that didn't happen, so they might be able to slow down Nabers, especially with the quarterback situation in New York not being great for fantasy purposes. But Nabers saw 13 targets on Thanksgiving, and the talent level is too high for him to not have a big game down the stretch. Nabers hasn't found the end zone since week 3, but the Saints have allowed a ton of production to wideouts, and Nabers' desire to be fed targets is something that New York will keep in mind, and we'll see if he can return to the end zone and or connect on more big plays to increase the ceiling for week 14. And staying in the NFC East, we have Devontae Smith as the wide receiver 7, assuming he returns on Sunday. You could make a case that's a bit too high, but I'm sure he wants to make up for lost time after being out with a hamstring injury, and this just feels like a spot where he could blow up. So at the very least, the ESPN ranking, they have him in the 30s and 40s somehow at wide receiver, is far too low, so be sure to get him back in lineups. For the Chargers, we have Ladd McConkey as a wide receiver 11, assuming he's able to go on Sunday night. But if not, Joshua Palmer would get a decent boost into the high-end flex ranks, and the same would be true for Quentin Johnston. But if McConkey is able to go, he's proven himself as a number one wide receiver. So if his status is unclear by Sunday morning, I think it's worth the risk of playing him, but protecting yourself with someone like Palmer if you can, in case McConkey is unable to go. Now for a few wide receiver 2 or flex types, I think the main one would be Amari Cooper. I just like how he matches up with the Rams cornerbacks, and I could see Buffalo wanting to get him involved after the heads-up lateral to Josh Allen on Sunday night. Even in that game, you could tell Allen, including on the touchdown, wanted to get Cooper some quick targets, and Los Angeles can be attacked down the field, so I like Cooper's upside as a low-end wide receiver too. I also like Brian Thomas Jr. more this week. We have him as a top 20 play. He had a big game against the Texans, but it could have been even better if they were able to connect on some downfield shots, a couple that didn't hit. Titans still obviously without L'Jarius Sneed at cornerback, so they can be attacked, including down the field. And Mac Jones is plenty capable, assuming Trevor Lawrence isn't cleared. So we like Thomas as an upside wide receiver 2 this week. And also Parker Washington coming off a career day as a solid flex. Similar thinking, it's a good matchup, and he's shown a good connection with Mac Jones. And for Green Bay, I'm not quite as high on Jayden Reed this week. He showed well in the first matchup against the Lions, I think 113 yards, and he sort of caught fire finding the end zone recently. But the man coverage for Detroit might play more towards Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. So we have Reed as the top option still for the Packers, based on what he's done this season. But I would just downgrade him. And the spot I'll continue to mention for Green Bay would be Week 16 versus New Orleans. I think that sets up for a big day for the entire passing attack. So something to keep in mind looking ahead to the fantasy playoffs. Then if you need a Hail Mary play with a ton of upside, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has shown a great connection with Derek Carr. The Giants are very vulnerable at cornerback and in the secondary. And without Taysom Hill, the Saints will have to be more reliant on the wide receivers. So MVS could be a high upside flex in a really good matchup based on the downfield potential he's shown. So that will conclude this episode. If you're fighting for a fantasy playoff spot this week, best of luck. We'll update our rankings on wolfsports.com through Sunday morning. And if you're a fantasy consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Don Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.